Lou Fry, what do you see as the biggest challenges for Rick Scott coming into Tallahassee?
To understand as a businessman that the state isn't just a business. It's a different kind of an animal, and how do you deal with it? I applaud him for some of the people he appointed, but talking to some of these people, that's all they did. They got appointed, they went to a meeting, they were a showpiece, and went on. And so a lot of the appointments looked good on paper, but really didn't pan out. I applaud his appointment of the former military officer as his chief of staff, if you will. But you have to say to yourself, my goodness, wouldn't it have been better if they'd appointed Pete Dunbar or Tony Jennings or a number of people who really know what's going on in
some
Florida.
Of the Florida political establishment.
And the other thing you have, it's sort of like a melody with the melody and then the counterpoint underneath. You have two very well-qualified individuals, the president of the Senate, Mike Haridopoulos, from Millard, who's made no secret he's running for the U.S. Senate. And Dean
I'm
Cannon,
shocked. Let's say shocked.
And Dean Cannon, who's the Speaker of the House, again, very, very good, qualified person, who it would not be a shock for many of us to see run for the House of Representatives, especially because there's two new seats coming up in Florida. One may be in this area. So you've got three different agendas, if you will, or four, I guess, going on at the same time. And in one sense, I'm not so sure that other than lip service that Scott is really paying much attention to the legislature. He's saying, I got elected governor, I'm going to do this. The one thing he forgot are their rules, and the House and Senate can override any veto that he has. In other words, the real power rests with the legislature if they want to use it and if they can't work with Scott. And nobody knows where that's going to come down yet. We'll see what the state of the state message.
What do you think historically, we look at Jeb Bush when he came into power, was he better able to share it with the legislature? And what would you evaluate also for Charlie Crist there?
I think both were better able because of where they came out of. And Bush was a coalition person anyway, and that. And he did a really good job of it. And Charlie did a good job when he came in. He had a lot going for him when he came in. A lot of the things Scott says seem to make sense. But you ask yourself, okay, you're going to combine three agencies or four agencies. Has anybody talked to the agency heads or the legislators? Yeah. I mean, is this going to work? How does this fit in? Where are these 700,000 jobs that that we're going to get?
He campaigned for.
That he campaigned for. So I think, in all fairness, the jury's out. I don't think we have the slightest idea what he's like personally. Most people really don't know him in the state. Dick and I, that have known every governor by first name for years and years and years, and they've, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, they don't know where he's really going. And they also don't know one thing, which I think may be the most important. Does he have the patience to be a good chief executive officer? Because let me tell you, if he doesn't have it, he's going to learn it. And if he doesn't learn it, he's going to be in deep trouble.
Now, let me follow up very quickly on what Lou said, and I agree with him. The fact is, you might have come out of a private sector corporate and made $300 million and went away and ran for governor, got elected. But the fact is, running a state is completely different than running a business. And now, do you want business principles applied? Absolutely. Do you want to do bidding process? But the thing the governor needs to understand is he's only the governor. And I don't say that to be derogatory at all. But as Lou pointed out, the House and Senate, the legislative branch of government in this state, is extremely powerful, particularly when you could override any veto. He must deal with them. They're his same party. He really should get kind of walking orders from them, one. Secondly, he must understand we have transparency in this state. We have the Sunshine Law. If you want to do transition behind closed doors, it won't happen in this state. So
why do you raise a concern about that?
Because all the transition teams have been non-transparent. And the fact is, because of his history in the private sector. I mean, I won't go back and recite the record, but we know he doesn't love transparency. He doesn't like to meet with editorial boards. He doesn't like to talk to the press. He likes to do his own thing. Well, he hasn't commandeered a state in Central Asia someplace. You know, this is the United States. This is the state of Florida. We're very constitutionally based, open government, transparency, and you've got to deal with the parties. And in fact, the one final point I'll make is, too, he can say all these things about bringing together Department of Community Affairs with the Department of Environmental Protection, you know, with the Department of Transportation. They're at odds. I mean, they have different agendas, and try to mesh this together shows his, I think, utter lack of understanding of how government works.
One last bit, too. He doesn't understand our cabinet system. We have a cabinet system. The governor many times is only one vote on a four-person cabinet, including him. So you don't have, just because you're governor doesn't mean it's going to happen. You have to work at it, and you have to respect the legislative branch and the other people in the executive branch. We don't know if that's going to happen.